Scripture lesson is Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. When they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so that when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say unto you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Amen. I want to talk about friends with benefits. Friends with benefit. We live in a very lonely world. I'm not sure if Facebook is helping us or not. I mean, if you look at Facebook, if you judge friendship by Facebook, I got thousands of friends. I got so many friends. I mean, I got so many birthday wishes. I started looking down the list. I said, "Who is this?" I don't even recognize some of the so-called friends that I have on Facebook. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. They are my friends because of my position, not because of who I am. And I would argue, I know in this world that we live in where there's so many lonely people, so many separated people, so many people who really cry out for friendship. And, you know, I know that, you know, this friends with benefit kind of thing is where you have sex without having intimacy. And let me make it clear, I don't think that's what God had in mind. But I also would argue that friendship is always about benefits. I wanted to share with you a couple quotes that I have. Aristotle said, "Friendship is a slow ripening fruit." You don't become friends overnight, usually. You got to go through some stuff to really develop a friendship. Do I have a witness? Amen. Friendship doubles your joy and divides your grief. It The Native American Indians, I was reading this yesterday, Native American Indians, when the British and the French came over and oppressed the Native American Indians, we don't want to remember that either. But the Native American Indians already had a language. You know, when white folks showed up, they think that they taught Native American Indians everything, that they didn't have a language before they got here. They were communicating before they got here. And their definition of friendship was when someone carries my sorrow on their back. That's a friend. And here we are in this text. Jesus shows up in Capernaum, and he goes to the house. They have house church. And there's a crowd that gathers in this house. And Jesus is preaching. And these four, and then there's this paralytic man. There's this man who can't walk, and it's before wheelchairs. It's before elevators. But this man is on a stretcher. But he has four friends. Wouldn't it be good to have four friends today? I mean, I'm looking out at this crowd. Don't raise your hands, but I bet you most of us don't have four friends. And if you're a male, you're lucky if you have a half a friend. I can remember when my daughter was her sweet 16 party. She comes giving us this list that she's got 100 and something friends. I said, no, you might have about 50 friends. Because we sure ain't paying for no 120 people. You got 120 acquaintances, but you don't have that many friends. You better narrow that thing down. In fact, you don't have 50, but we just give you the benefit of the doubt since you're 16. Jesus is in the house. He's preaching, it's a crowded house, and these guys, this paraplegic man, he has four friends. I really don't know if he has four friends. All I know is that's four guys that take him into the house. It could have been one friend that encouraged three other guys that was passing by. But I'll give him the benefit that at least he had one friend, and maybe he had four friends who took this paraplegic, crippled man into the house where Jesus was preaching. Do you have anybody that will bring you in the house where Jesus is? Statistics says that most people who come to church came because a friend brought them. They don't come just because there's great preaching or great singing. They don't come. They come because they had a friend that brought them to where the word was being preached. Who brought you in the house? You probably just didn't show up one snowy morning. Somebody called you, picked you up, and said, let's go to the house of the Lord. This man was crippled. How many know that sometimes when you are crippled by something, you don't want to be bothered? You go into this cave. You go into this pity party. Poor me. I'm crippled. Poor me. Somebody's done me. We don't know how the guy got crippled. All we know is he was crippled. And sometimes when we are handicapped by something, we go into this isolationist mode. Do I have a witness? But a real friend will come by your house. Will talk to you. You ever had a real friend to get on your nerve by putting your stuff in your face
and you may not necessarily buy it, but you have to think about it and agonize over it, and maybe you come to find out, hey, they were telling the truth. Because we separate ourselves and we isolate ourselves into this poor me syndrome. And what we need is somebody to come by and pull us out of the cave. How many of you know you can be isolated in a nice cave? You can have a nice cave and color TV, snacks in the refrigerator. Even have a wife or a daughter or a son that serve you in the cave, but you're still in the cave. You need somebody to help you to get out of the cave because you're not growing in the cave. How many of you remember Cheers? Remember that TV program, Cheers? Yeah, a place where everybody know your name. And the world says that they says. They say that everybody needs a third place. You have home and you have work, but you need a third place. And Cheers was a third place for some folk. After they got out of home, after they got out of work, they went to the bar. So everybody would know their names. Let me ask you a question. Where's your third place? I would argue that your third place ought to be the house of God. I would argue that it ought to be a place where you can find a friend, somebody that can talk to you and help you to come out of your cave. I would argue that the men's Sunday school class is a third place. I would argue that the choir is a third. I would argue that this ought to be a third place for you. Here's the other thing. Some people don't have the first place. The home is a mess. Some people ain't got no job. And the world says that if you're homeless, you're nothing. And the world says that if you don't have a job, you're nothing. But the third place of the church says you are somebody, whether you have a job or not. Because God made you, you need a third place. I need a third place. So these friends, however you want to put it, whether the guy had four friends or he had one friend. But I argue you're lucky if you just got one friend that will pick you up and take you to your third place. Now the question is, where they gonna take you? You know, some of us, you know, we're gonna. It's amazing to me how they can take somebody to the bar and set them up, and when it comes to church, they guess how cheap. They go in the bar, hey, I'll buy for everybody. I don't even know how much that stuff costs, but I know they don't give it away. This man in the text, don't know his name. All we know, he had a handicap. These four friends hear that Jesus is preaching, and there's a crowd in the house. I don't know, you know, sometimes I don't know because the text doesn't tell us this, but you know, sometimes when you're handicapped and you've been hanging out, isolated by yourself, you're in the home or whatever, you just thinking about poor me, I'm handicapped, and then your friends show up and say, hey, we're going to church today. And you how many of you start making excuses? I ain't got no clothes. I need my hair cut. I didn't see John this week. But if you're hurting bad enough, you don't care how your hair looks. You don't care what kind of clothes you got on. You want to get out of here. Sometimes I call my mother. She's going to be 84 next month, March. called the other day. She had a bad cold. And I said, well, then she told me she had a doctor's appointment, but the doctor messed up her appointment. But she said, listen, I got to get out of this house. I ain't going to the doctor. I ain't going to tell you where she was going, but she said, I got to get out of here. She said, the walls are closing in on me. I got to get out of here. And I ain't going to tell you where one of her third places is, but she's out of the house.
Those of you know me pretty good, you probably know where it is.
But you got to give it. You got to. I don't know what the conversation was between the friends. But you know, sometimes, how many know? Sometimes you got to argue with your friend to get them out of the house. They start making up all kind of excuses. There ain't nothing going on down there at that church. You know, I don't want to. I don't have this. I ain't got no tithes. I ain't got. All they interested in is money. They start making up all kind of excuses. You gotta get in their face and say, hey, Jesus is in the house. I ain't talking about Jackson. I wouldn't go either, but Jesus is in the house. This may be your last opportunity to come to your right mind. And I love you enough as my friend to argue with you. You don't have to like it. Just get up. In fact, you don't even have to get up. Just get on the stretcher. And we're taking you down to the house. I guarantee you somebody took you to this house. If it wasn't to this house, it was some house. And I ain't talking about no house of ill repute. I'm talking about the house of God. Somebody encouraged you when you were in your funk and brought you to what you need, boy, what you need, girl, is to go into the house of the Lord. So these four guys took him down to this house. They get down to the house, and they can't get in. Unlike today, there's a crowd in the house. They come down here today, they can get in any seat, you know, here. It wouldn't be no problem getting in the door today. But that house, that day, it was a crowd. Jesus was preaching it. The Bible doesn't say nothing about him doing any healing. He was just preaching. How many know the right word at the right time can heal you too? It doesn't have to be him laying hands on you and healing you from this malady. He can just be healing your mind. We need our minds healed. Jesus is preaching. They try to get the guy in the house. But it's such a crowd, they have to go up stairs. And back in the day, the roof was flat. It wasn't like these, at least in my house, the roof is like this. The roof was flat, so they go up on the roof, and they cut a hole in the roof and let the man down right in front of, let's say, you know, Jesus is standing right here. They don't let the man down in the back. They let the man down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, their faith has saved you. Isn't it a good thing when you have a friend that you can be saved on his or her faith? Isn't it a good thing that you have a friend that loves you enough to confront you that might save you whether you like it? Isn't it a good thing? Jesus says to the guy, he says to him, you can read that. Over there, he says, son, your sins are forgiven. And back in that day, they believed that, you know, if you were sick, that was because you had sinned somewhere along the line. How many know that ain't necessarily so, but some of our sickness does come about because of our sins. Do I have a witness in the house? But not all of our sickness coming about because we sinned. Some of it just happens. Jesus says to this guy, after he says, wow, I haven't seen no faith like that. Here's a word for young people and old people. And young people, if you're asleep, wake up. I want you to get this. You got to be careful who you make your friend. You got to be careful where your third place is. You know, usually when you're young, you really do have a third place. When you get old, sometimes you don't have a first place. But when you're young, usually you have a third place. Your first place is home. Your second place is school. When you're young. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And your third place might be your football team. Maybe your dance group. It may be some club or something. The debating team or the swim club. When you're young. And then, when you graduate from college, you don't have a third place anymore. People used to play football with, they done gone off somewhere else. And now, you know, you start getting fat. You can't. All you can do is sit around in your cave and holler when somebody else is playing. Hey, that's my team. That's a cave mentality. And then in the cave, you don't even invite anybody in the cave no more. You just sit around hollering, and your mother and your father, or somebody's upstairs. What's wrong with Sam? You and I need to be friend enough to somebody to help them find a third place. Third place ought to be the church. If your best friend is Facebook, you ain't got no friends. You want to brag about how many people hit you and like you on Facebook. Everybody hitting you don't like you. I mean, if that's the case, I'd be feeling high. I mean, my God, on my birthday, I had people hitting me. I mean, I had so many black and blue marks on me, I couldn't stand. But the truth is, I don't have that many friends. The truth is, if you don't have a third place in your life, missing out on something. And if you don't have a friend that will bring your crippled self to Jesus, you're missing out on something. And these four guys cared so much about their friend that they valued him over the cost of repairing a roof. I don't know how long, you know, if it's my house and, you know, I'm having a little house party and Jesus is showing up and you show up with your crippled friend, I'm going to say, hey, it's my roof. But they valued his humanity and his condition more than they valued what the roof cost. And they decided that we will work 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever it is, to repair the roof if you'll save our friend. Jesus says to him. And you know the other thing, whenever somebody values you enough to try to help you, there's always somebody who's trying to question your motives. Talking about the benefits of friendship. Let me get it straight. I'm not talking about sex. And I'm not saying that we are not sexual beings, because, you know, in most churches, we don't want to talk about sex. But we are sexual beings. You don't have to say amen. I'll say it for you. But I will say we have to learn how to control our passion. I am saying this You need a friend. I need a friend. I am saying that life without a friend can be mighty lonely. I'm saying that there's a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. And I am saying that you, we've been talking about those three people that you've been praying for. I'm saying to you, invite them to a third place. Jesus says to him, pick up your bed. Every last one of us have had something or had something that cripples us that we need to be called out of into the presence of God so that God's word can minister to our hearts. You know, some time ago, I don't know, I forget the statistics now, but Most of us, we don't read anymore. We don't read. Now, to talk about, you know, after you graduate from high school or graduate from college, the average person doesn't read another book for the rest of their lives. But I'm saying to you, the right time and the right place in the church of Jesus Christ can stir your soul. Can reorient your thinking and reorient your mind. I'd like to think this is a good third place. I'd like to think it's better than the bar. I'd like to think that the Church of Jesus Christ, it's better than the hangout. I'd like to think it's better than the sorority, the fraternity. I'd like to think it's better than the gang. But at least, if you're in one of those, you have a third place. The real sad predicament is so many of us don't have a third place at all. If you got a third place, it just might be the wrong third place, but at least you got one.